Well, it's difficult for me to describe to you how much different this assembly looks to me and my family from the one we walked into last Lord's Day. We found what we learned was the only church in what they call the North Country, the northern part of New Hampshire. And when my family of four walked into the church building, we doubled the attendance. And we were blessed by having been there. I thought of them this morning as Carl was reading his remarks at the table. Because with the time change and when they meet, we were literally communing with them at the same time, those four saints. And it was good for my family to see them and not take for granted what we have here and not think that what's here is what's everywhere, because we are blessed to be a part of you and to commune with you week after week on the first day. Thank you for being here this morning. To our visitors, we thank you, and you have blessed us by your attendance, and we hope you'll be back with us again. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 12. I want to read a part of the 12th chapter of John's Gospel and invite your attention to the Word of God, that you would read along with me, verses 27 through 33 of John chapter 12. Jesus said, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." There came therefore a voice out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Jesus said that his soul had become troubled as he became closer and closer to the cross. And his question was, what am I supposed to do about this? Say, "Father, deliver me, rescue me from this hour. It was for this purpose that I came." The same Jesus who did not come to be served, but to serve, on this occasion says, "I didn't come to be saved from this hour, but to save, to give my life a ransom for many." And he said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Well, did he mean if I am honored in some way, if I'm lifted up and put on a pedestal, is that what will draw men to me? Did he mean when I'm lifted up in the resurrection, or lifted up from the earth in the ascension back to heaven, is that what's going to draw men to me? John answers the question for us. When Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth," John said he was talking about the way he was going to die. When he was lifted up on the cross. Jesus said, that will draw all men to me. At first, it did not. For many, the cross pushed them away. To the Jews, their thought was, how could the Messiah suffer and die? He's supposed to be the king. To the Gentiles, that's foolish. How could God come to the earth and be killed by men? He's stronger. He's more powerful. But Jesus said to those who are being saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's that which would draw people to Him. Our theme this year is Come to Jesus. I want you to see this morning, you can't come to Jesus if you don't come to the cross. It's the drawing power. It's what causes us to see the love God had for us. It's what helps us understand how much He wants us to become His sons and His daughters through Him. So I want to invite you this morning to come to the cross. Now, when we read about it in the gospel accounts, each writer reports on it as if he's writing in the local newspaper. And they crucified him. And that's all the details were given. Part of that is because it was a common form of execution in the time in which these were written. But part of that has to be they just couldn't put into words what they had seen of Jesus on the cross. And so I want to invite you to come to the cross through the words Jesus spoke. That these would draw you to Him. And if you're already His disciple, to draw you closer to Him by examining the words Jesus spoke from the cross. You learn a lot about a person by reading what their last words were. I like to read about the presidents, and so I was reading about one of them, and David was sitting in the room, and I said, David, do you know what FDR's last words were? And he looked up and said, there is another Skywalker? No, that's not it. But last words are fascinating to us. Would you consider with me this morning some of the last words of Jesus, that you would be drawn to come to the cross? In Matthew chapter 27, would you come to the cross when you're tempted to sin? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, we read starting at verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour, and upon the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sin is a choice. It's a deliberate decision. We decide to sin. We're faced with a choice. We're at the crossroads. We're having to decide, am I going to be faithful or am I going to do what I want? I ask that you come to the cross at this decision and hear the voice of Jesus as He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For years in the temple, they had heard the cry of innocent lambs as they were slaughtered year after year for sin. Not for something the animal did, but for the sins of the people. And these cries were heard as their throats were cut and they were offered as a sacrifice. But inasmuch as it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, they all heard the cry of this innocent Lamb of God, who from the darkness in the land said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is he doing that? Because of my sin. Because of my choice. When all I could think about was me and what I wanted and what felt good to me and what sounded good to me. Come to the cross. There you will see how sin separates from God. This is not something that we do and say, well, I'll do it this once and then I'll ask for forgiveness. Come to the cross and hear Jesus cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. When you're tempted to sin, be drawn to the cross and hear Jesus' words. Number two, when you're tempted to think, I'm really suffering, I'm really having to carry a load for the cause of Christ, I want you to come to the cross. In John chapter 19, we have reported by the disciple whom Jesus loved in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. We have studied on past occasions of the great I am statements of Jesus, where he said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true and living way. I am the resurrection and the life. This one we sometimes forget. I am thirsty. See, Jesus suffered the cross as a man. He bled and died. He felt the pains of the scourging and the crown of thorns. Earlier that night in the garden, he had prayed, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. The cup being a symbol of his suffering. And he was made to drink the cup. And the cup made him thirsty. Come to the cross when you're bragging about your own suffering. Oh, nobody understands what I have to bear. Nobody knows what I have to go through. Nobody knows all the torment and the cross that I have to bear because I'm a Christian. Well, go read about what Jesus went through. Go to the cross and see how he suffered for your sake. I am thirsty. Jesus was not treated like a king, but a criminal. He did not wear a crown of gold, but of thorns. His face was not kissed, it was slapped and spat upon. Is he asking too much from you? Is the way of discipleship too demanding for you that you would fall beneath the load? Come to the cross when you think you're really suffering and hear Jesus say in his own words, "I thirst." Come to the cross when you wonder if you should forgive someone. In Luke 23, one of the things that Luke says Jesus was saying over and over as he was being nailed to the cross were these words. Verse 33, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.'" It is reported that when Saddam Hussein was executed, he was asked if he had any last words. They had already put the veil over his face and had the noose around his neck. And he said to the executioner through the veil, "Allah condemn you." And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." He was just practicing what he preached. It was Jesus who said, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, even when they say all kind of evil things about you and revile you for my name's sake." Father, forgive them. Just back in Luke 22, how easy would it have been when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter took out the sword, verse 50, and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. How easy would it have been for Jesus to say, "He got what he deserved. That's what he gets for not believing. That's what he gets for trying to arrest the Son of God." But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Luke the physician is the only one who records the healing. It would have been spectacular for him to think about Jesus picking up an ear and reattaching it. You ever wonder for the rest of his life if Malchus thought of that every time he tugged on his ear? But that was Jesus. Forgive them. And yet we say things like, "Why should I forgive him? Or what's he done to deserve forgiveness?" come to the cross. Be drawn to the words of Jesus. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive. They know not what they do. Come to the cross when you feel like no one loves you. Your life's a mess. It's in shambles. You feel unredeemable. Come to the cross and hear the words of Jesus. Still in Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." What a shame that this text has become a battleground. So much so that we miss what happened. The thief on the cross was never meant to be a pattern for our salvation. If baptism is being baptized into the death of Jesus and being raised like his resurrection, the thief could not have done either one of those if he was baptized. It's meant to show the mercy of Jesus and his remembering his mission to seek and save the lost. He didn't say to the thief who's now begging, literally deathbed repentance, "Too late. You had your chance." This thief recognized something that the disciples of Jesus had all but forgotten. This was not the end. This was not the death of Jesus' kingdom. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Jesus said, just like he did to the woman taken in adultery, just like he did to the paralytic he healed who'd been lowered through the roof, "Your sins are forgiven. Today, you shall be with me in paradise." We seem to think that God could never forgive me. I've done something so horrible that God's love and mercy and grace could never cover my sin, could never take it away. Come to the cross and hear these words of Jesus. "Truly, today you shall be with me in paradise." And then finally, come to the cross. Be drawn to Jesus when submission seems beneath you. Verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus had predicted that he would be handed over to sinners, betrayed by his own, and given over to the authority of sinful men, and they would decide his destiny. Jesus knew that, and he prepared his disciples for that. And so as this was happening, there was no outcry of injustice. There was no, make certain you tell the news people about this. Make certain these people are brought to judgment. But to place himself into the hands of his Father. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He was willing to submit his cause to God. We get so wrapped up in our life and our rights that we think we ought to be the ones in control. And we ought to be calling all the shots. When submission says, not my will, but your will be done. When that seems beneath you, you're too important for that, you have too much authority to do that, come to the cross. Be drawn to the words of the Son of God. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Like a lamb, he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. I invite you to come to the cross. There were three crosses prepared for that day. And though we are never told this specifically, it makes sense that the third cross would have been prepared for Barabbas. Three thieves, three crosses. It was Barabbas that Pilate gave the choice to the crowd. You want me to release Jesus or release Barabbas? Stands to reason that whoever was not released was going to be crucified. And so Jesus took the place of Barabbas. But you see, he took the place of every sinner. He bore the guilt and the shame and the punishment for my death. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Would you be drawn to what Jesus did for you? Concerning the plan of God, he said, it is finished. It is accomplished. Would you see your part in that plan? By confessing your faith as the centurion did at the foot of the cross, truly, this man was the Son of God. By coming in repentance, and in the likeness of Jesus' death, being buried with him in baptism, and in the likeness of his resurrection, being raised to newness of life. You've already done that. Be drawn closer to him, so that one day we will stand with him in eternity. Can we assist you? Let it be known now while we stand and while we sing.